let's have a word of prayer, all right? Then after that, we'll go ahead and we'll start with the lesson two on how to Christian growth and victory. Okay, then after I'll tell you some good news. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning that we can come into your presence. We know that it is a privilege to be in the house of God. In some places of this world, we know that it is impossible or at the risk of their lives, Lord, Christians go to church. Help us not to take this for granted, that every opportunity we have, Father, will be found in your house, will be found at your work, will be found under the preaching of your word, under the teaching of your word, not simply because we want to learn and we want to grow in Christ. So, Lord, right now, take this 45 minutes or 50 minutes or so. I pray that it will be fruitful. I pray that you open our hearts, fill us with your spirit, and that, Lord, our understanding will be open, our hearts will be open and receptive, our minds will be sharp, and our bodies, Lord, will be quick to yield to you in surrender and service. So we pray that the word of God will bring life this morning. Fill me with your spirit. And Lord, I ask you for a compassionate heart as we teach your precious word. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We're going to go on just a quick review of the 12 truths last week that we learned and that you have filled up in your... Okay, to have Christian growth and victory, this is so important. Christian growth and victory, in some churches, they believe you are zapped by the Holy Spirit and you're fine after that. No, you're not. Okay, the Bible doesn't give us that promise, but the Bible does give us promise if we follow His Word. So the first thing that we need to take note of is that Christian growth flows from God's abundant salvation. This is just a review of last week, okay? So you don't have to take any notes down. It should have been down already, okay? In other words, when the Holy Spirit fills your life, Christian growth should naturally come because that's what generally is believed, and that is what the Bible says. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you have everything you need for Christian growth, okay? And then the next one, Christian growth needs adding to your faith, okay? Basically, God puts a starting point, and then we begin to go on. It's actually, this is in parallel to the Old Testament when God told Joshua to go and conquer the promised land. After God helped Joshua to conquer the promised land, after that, the different tribes are supposed to go and finish the job. Okay? And so as a Christian, to grow, God has started with faith. As we place faith in Christ, we are born again. Then later on, we need to start adding to your faith virtue, the virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, and so on. Okay? Then the next one, Christian growth is not instantaneous. It requires time. It requires time. It's not instantaneous. All right? And I think there's always a temptation to push people into service because we feel they're ready, they have a good attitude, but it does take time to grow. Okay? During the Vietnam War, many of the Americans were drafted into the army. After 3 months, they sent to Vietnam. Many of them died. Because why? They have no experience to fight with the better, harder non-Vietnamese army who live in the jungle for years. Okay? So many of the young soldiers were killed. So for us as Christians, we need to realize it's not instantaneous. It requires time and growth. Okay? Okay, the next one, it requires all diligence. Christian growth will not happen without effort. It will not happen without effort. So some people believe that this is works. That's not works. That's just part and parcel of our growth. Okay? In order to build muscles, you need to go to the gym and pump iron, example. Okay? For Joshua to be a very good skipping, right? He's very good at skipping. You should see how he skip. He's very good. Okay? How many hours do you practice? 2 hours every day. 2 hours every day. Okay? You want to skip like him? He's what? Singapore's champion, right? Second. In the primary schools, okay? So he's good. Why? But he needs practice, okay? The next one, Christian growth is individual. We cannot compare with one another. And God doesn't want us to compare with one another. We all have different growth and path. That doesn't mean, in a church, you just go different ways. It means that each of us have our own sets of problems, sets of challenges, sets of weaknesses, our personality, and God grows us in that path. Okay? What you are weak at, someone else may be strong at. Okay? So all of us are different, but we need to realize that so that we don't have to say, I need to be like that person. No, you need to be more like Christ. Okay, the next one. Christian growth is to live by the new law of Christ. All right, the new law of Christ. It's no longer by the old philosophies. It's no longer by what I think, what you think, what the pastor thinks, what the Bible says. Okay, so we need to follow what the Bible says. Now, I want to qualify this. When the pastor or your Sunday school teacher says what the Bible says, we should listen to that person also. Okay? But of course, everything is said, you need to check back to the Bible. Okay, the next one. Christian growth requires patience because it takes time. So it requires patience. All right? You cannot rush the Christian growth. Okay? Next one. Christian growth guarantees fruitfulness. In the Bible, it said that. I'm just revising, all right, for those who just come in. Christian growth. If a believer is not growing, he's going backwards. Okay, I was talking to a sister and say, oh, the person has reached a plateau. I said, no, Christians don't plateau. Christians either go forwards or backwards. Christians either go forwards or backwards. You know, that's the same with your muscles. You know how long does it take for your muscles to start degenerating? If you don't exercise? If I'm not wrong, you can check it out, it's 3 days. After that, your muscle starts to actually get smaller. 3 days. Oh no, I haven't been exercising for 1 year. Okay, so it does go backwards. Christian growth, if you're not moving forwards, you are moving backwards. Okay. Backsliding makes a believer nearsighted and forgetful. That means when we are backslider, we tend to look at the earth and the things, and we forgot about what God has promised us. That's why when you speak to a lot of Christians, all they talk about is the here and now. All they talk about is what I want to do in this life. All right? You can actually hear whether a person is growing just simply by what his ambitions in life are. Christian growth does not say, but it does prove one's salvation. Okay? If you're growing in Christ, it means you have life. And therefore, Christian growth actually shows proof that a person is genuinely saved. If a person hasn't moved, he may be moving in life, he may be moving in career, he may be moving in his prospects, he may be earning a lot of money, but when you look at his Christian life, nothing has moved. We don't know whether he's saved or he's a soul backslider, he doesn't know, all right? Christian growth does not save, but it does prove one's salvation. And the last one is, Christian growth produces rewards. The more we serve God, the Bible says, 2 Peter chapter 1, then shall given us an entry into heaven. We need to realize these 12 truths from the Bible, okay? Now we're going to move on, and I want us to absorb by God's grace and the Holy Spirit to teach us what it means to have Christian growth and how to have Christian growth, okay? These are the four things. We may not finish everything today. Four things, four major elements for Christian growth. Number one is the abiding. Number two is the putting on and the putting off. After we'll go through the specific passages. Number three is a confessing, and number four is a pressing on. Okay, next we'll look at other things as well. Four things, very important, the abiding, the putting on and putting off, the confessing of sin, and the pressing on towards the mark. Okay, for those who have finished, you can turn with me to John chapter 15. Maybe just take, what I'll do is just keep going, and would it help if I just forward it into your WhatsApp so that you can, if you want a copy, so fine. Okay, but I'll just keep going, okay, and jot down the key points. Let's turn to John chapter 15. I want you to look at the scriptures, all right, with regards to spiritual growth. In abiding in Christ. John chapter 15. Take the habit to make notes in your Bible somewhere. John chapter 15. I'll highlight some key points from the passage. Then after that, I'll go through some of the points we have. Okay. John 15 verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Who's speaking here? Who's speaking? The Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Who is he talking to? Who's he talking to? He's talking to the disciples. Judas Iscariot has left. Okay, he has gone to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. So the only person that is in the room with him as Jesus was preaching this is to his disciples, the people who will follow him. And so this passage does not talk about salvation. It talks about the Christian growth. How do we grow? How do we be fruitful in Christ? Okay? Because in verse number 2, okay, I'm the true vine, referring to Jesus. My Father is the husbandman, the gardener. Okay? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Notice the Christian. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that he may bring forth more fruit. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about a gardener tending a plant. When you tend a plant, as a gardener, there are some parts that are not very, they may be diseased, or may not be growing very well. So what do gardeners do? They prune it, right? They cut it off. Because what happens is that all the nutrition will still go there, but if it's not growing well, the gardener will cut it off so that he can redirect the energies to other places, or the nutrition to other places, so that the other parts will grow better. Okay? So the Bible says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. He deals with. But every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that he may bring forth more fruit. The idea is that if you find a branch that's getting fruitful, he's actually paying attention to it as well, but he makes sure that he will prune it nicely so that that particular branch can grow more and more. Okay? So that's what Jesus is referring to. When in verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. What's Jesus saying here? You are clean through the word. That refers to your salvation. You are clean. You are clean. So the Lord Jesus sets the stage again. You are clean. All of you are clean because your hearts are right with me. All right? You may be afraid. You may be scared. But your heart is right with me. Remember the one that is going to betray Jesus has left. So Jesus says, you, referring to the disciples at present, you are clean, through which I have spoken unto you. Salvation is always through his word and through the ministry and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Verse 4. Abide in me. The word abide means to dwell with, to make a camp, to stay by. Abide in me and I in you. That is actually an instruction to the disciples. That's an instruction to the disciples. Abide in me and I in you. Now that's an interesting one. I want you to stay by me, and the second part, and I in you. The Lord Jesus will never leave us, but the first part is abide in me means I want you to stay by me and allow me to stay in you. Allow me to stay in you. And that, I believe, is a very important part. Many believers do many things for God. Say, God, I'll pray, I'll do this. But when God convicts your life, say, no, Lord, I'm not going to touch that. I'm not going to allow you to abide in me. I'm not going to allow you to convict me. I'm going to allow you, even if you convict me, I'm not going to do anything about it. Abide in me and I in you. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. Okay, after we talk about that in more general terms, but I want to go through the verses here. Jesus gives the reason why. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I hope you can see the difference between religion and a relationship. The Lord Jesus Christ is not a religion. We are in a relationship with him. He works in our lives. He speaks to us on a daily basis as we read the word and pray. And he says that when we get saved, his life is to be lived through us. And we need to allow him. No, we'll pray, we'll read the Bible, but we need to allow him to change us from inside. Okay? Verse 5, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Okay? I'm the true vine, you are the branches. Okay? That goes out of the vine. He that abideth me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus makes it clear. You're not going to be fruitful in your Christian life if you don't abide in Christ. You don't stay with Christ. After this, we talk about how to stay with Christ, but we have to understand this. Without Jesus Christ, you can never grow. Without Jesus Christ, you can have no spiritual victory in your life. Okay? Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast off. This is a spiritual danger. If you don't abide in Christ, you are cast off as a branch and is withered. And men gather up and burn them into the fire and they are burned. Why do gardeners burn off the twigs and all that? Because they are no use, no longer of use. No longer of use. Okay? The spiritual danger, if we don't apply in Christ, is that God will just put us on the shelf and leave us there and say, useless. He'll cast us aside. That's what the Bible says. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, it shall be done unto you. The abiding in Christ requires His word to abide in you. The Lord Jesus is very specific. In modern day Christians, even in independent Baptist circles, the word of God has not taken the, it's not placed in a place that is very important. It's about, yeah, I believe the word, but you know, Jesus speaks to me. The Lord Jesus doesn't make a distinction. If you listen to the word, you're listening to Him. Okay, let's take a look at John chapter 14. The correlation. John chapter 14, in verse 8. It's just an aside. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Okay, so, after Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, Philip tells Jesus, just show us the Father, is enough for us. And then Jesus said, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me? He that seen me hath seen the Father. Okay, the correlation is, if you obey God's word, you're obeying God. If you obey the Bible, you're following Jesus. And you know what? Actually, the Lord made it simple for us. We don't have to guess what His will is. It's all here. All right? Abiding in the Bible is one of the key things in your spiritual growth. Okay? After that, I'll just summarize that. Verse 8, hearing is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Okay? Let me just go through. The true Christian life is not a religion. Okay? Christianity is not a religion. It is a personal relationship with a living Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is not an idol. He's a person, a real resurrected person. Okay? Okay, what does abiding in Christ entail? It means walking in fellowship with God. The word fellowship means I will pray and talk to God, and God will speak to me as I read the word. Okay? Knowing who God is personally and walking in fellowship with Him day by day is a day-to-day thing. You cannot you cannot one day you talk to God, another day you just keep quiet and move away. The relationship is not going to be built. You need to talk to God every day. Alright? It's a personal relationship day by day. Okay, is serving Him and learning of Him. I want to highlight this point. There are many people who are choosing not to serve God for whatever reasons. Now, in order to grow in Christ, God does this. As we serve Him, we learn what God wants us to learn through the service. And God uses that to teach us His will or to fulfill His will. Every time we serve God, there is a meaning. Because as I teach as a pastor, God is still changing me. Okay? But I'm also being changed to do God's will, because God's will is to teach the people. So serving and learning of Him is an important part of growing in Christ. Okay? Our spiritual victory only comes when we abide in Christ and allow God's word to abide in us. I mentioned that before. Spiritual victory comes when we allow the Word of God to change us from the inside, okay? Let me just go on. Okay, let's look at a few verses in John chapter 15. God's will for the Christian is to produce fruit. Okay, everyone who is a Christian, who says he's a Christian today, now, all right, if you're not sure of your salvation, you need to work on it. But God's will for every believer is that he produce fruit, okay? And can I just show you the verses? The Bible says in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, it purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit. The Lord God's will is for us to produce fruit, and then it's produced more fruit. And then in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So there's a progression. There's a progression. When we get saved, God's expectation for Christians is to bear fruit. And then as we grow in Christ, He should see more fruit. And then at the end of life, hopefully you have much fruit. Okay. Bearing fruit could be just you start to obey God in the small details of your life. Okay, one of the young persons who recently trusted Christ made a decision to break off ungodly relationships. Okay. One of the when he also different things which reflects the fact that God has changed his life. Example: when I was young, and about when I was 13 years old, when I trusted Christ, the first thing I did was to get rid of my ungodly music. These are the small things. As I grow, I remember preaching my first message when I was 13 to 5 people in a small room. I still remember that I was preaching on lost souls going to hell. And then as we grow, I was able to serve a bit more in different areas, bearing more fruit. And as we grow in Christ, God expects us to have much fruit. Okay, after we talk about what fruit is, but God wants us to bear fruit. Our life will need to reflect that as a Christian, we cannot remain stagnant as a Christian for the rest of our lives. That you got nothing to show for it. You have no soul saved. You haven't read the Bible through even one time. You attend church and go home and that's it. You know, when a Christian stays in that state, he's not grown. Okay, we're referring to a Christian. But when a person is not grown, remember, one of the truth is, if you don't grow forwards, you go backwards, okay? But if you're not, if you have no life, you can't grow as well. So this is something that is, it should constantly be in our mind. It should constantly be in our mind. So God's will is for us as Christians to produce fruit. Growth is a product of abiding in Christ, okay? Now we look at a few fruits that we can have. I think it's over there. Okay. In Galatians 5:22, what fruit are we talking about? Let's turn there, okay? There's some fruits that we can look at. Galatians 5:22, some fruit that we have. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, is long-suffering, is gentleness, is goodness, is faith, is meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When you become a Christian, the first thing, as you grow in Christ, is that your character changes. Not because you put in effort to change, but because you allow the Holy Spirit to control you. Because if we try to change our character by ourselves, we're going to fail. But when we say, Lord, you know, I always get angry when my boss comes in. I just hate his face. You know, but God, since you've saved me, help me to have the love for him. Fill me with your Spirit, and then as I work for him, help me not to be petty, help me not to whatever, and Lord, just control me today. And then you go into office, you allow God to take control, and you do your work with a sweet spirit, not because you are trying, because you allow God to help you. And I learned one thing in my Christian life, you have to decide that you want to do it, and say, God, you help me. A lot of Christians turn the other way, oh Lord, help me to read my Bible, but they haven't decided to read their Bible. You see a difference? The first one is, I already decided to do it. Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going. I need your help, please. Another one is, God, I need your help. But I haven't really decided whether I want to do it or not. God's going to help A. He's going to help B. And I believe that's why many Christians remain in a stagnant form. Okay? So first one is to produce a fruit of character, which remains love and joy and peace. These are all spiritual fruit. You know, there was one brother who said, yeah, we need to preach more about joy. Actually, joy comes naturally if you're just committing yourself to the Holy Spirit, because one of the fruits, all right, of the Holy Spirit is joy. Any questions? I want to go through it deliberately because I want us to understand this. You can't grow by trying. And I believe that phrase means this. When you say, I'm going to read, how many of you are, I'm going to read my Bible from today onwards? And then you try to do it. It's not going to work. But I say, Lord, I'm going to read my Bible in prayer and say, Lord, but I need you to help me. And I'm going to be realistic. Lord, you know, I don't even like to read. There are some Christians who say, Brother Johnny, I just don't like to read. Well, then you need to learn to read. There is no choice, because otherwise, another option is here. Get Bible CDs that constantly drill the Word of God into your hearing. Okay? Unless we are blind, unless our eyesight is bad, and if you can read English, or even if you can read Chinese, you need to make time to read. Okay, that's part of discipline. That's part of actually being a disciple of Christ. Okay, and as you read, God will develop the fruit. Okay, verse Hebrews 13:15, which is there, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's another fruit as a Christian we need to have. Is when we sit in the congregation for worship, we need to be singing our lungs out to God. Because what we feel in the heart needs to come out in our lips. That's the fruit of our lips. That's what the Bible says. We need to be praising God. You know, I personally am very disturbed that old Christians, I'm not talking about age, Christians have many years, can sit down and just look at the words and don't sing. I don't believe that honors God. Because the Bible says we need to sing, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We need to sing to the Lord a new song. We need to sing. All right, these are very clear Bible instructions for us so that we can walk with God. Okay, another one is John 15:16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and appointed you, ordained you that you shall go forth and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. This fruit refers to the fruit of souls. Jesus is going to send the 11 apostles together with Paul later to win souls to Christ. And he's saying what? Don't just go and win souls, make sure they remain. The purpose of this discipleship is that you have God's word in you, that when I'm passed from the scene, you guys will take over and keep on going forward to produce more fruit. Okay? Okay, that's a good question. Let me just, maybe it's an English thing. Okay. When we are depending on our own strength, when we don't pray, I use my own Christian life as an example. I've always wanted to do a lot of things. And many times, when the thought comes to me, I try to kick off without thinking through, without even praying, without pausing to say, Lord, is this your will? Is this what you want me to do? Okay? It doesn't mean it's wrong or right. At that point, it's just an impression that comes in. But when you lay before the Lord, because of your relationship, he can clarify for you whether that's what God wants or not. With the Bible verses, with things that you've learned, and then you crystallize a position, and then you move forward. Does that make sense? So that's the first part of actually making a decision whether or not that's God's will. Okay? The first part in knowing whether you're trusting God in your own strength is that you have developed, or you come to a place of, or are developing this absolute dependence that you will not start anything without being in prayer first. You will not do anything unless you prayed about it first. You will not get into a relationship unless you prayed about it first. You will not start a course without praying about it first. You will not go with this friend that's trying to help you, whatever, but you're not too sure whether it's right or wrong. As long as we have the doubt, we need to actually, in everything, all decisions in life, we need to pray first. That's the first thing. And this prayer is not, a lot of people say, I'll just pray about it. That phrase is very important because when you say you pray about it, you literally go inside when there's no one around and say, Lord, what do you want me to do about this? Okay? So once you've put yourself in that position, there's actually that dependency. Once your mind frame is, Lord, what do you want versus what I want? And then, when you move forward, because you've committed your heart, you're dependent on God, I say, Lord, I believe this is what you want me to do. And then by faith you do. And do it to the best of your ability. Okay? I believe that trying comes when we don't even do the first part. A lot of people get into causes, into relationships, into different things, even into ministry without even praying about it. And then when they do, example, sometimes people serve, but they don't understand why they serve. They say, okay, I just do. Over time, they get tired or they get... See, some of the indications that you're doing in your own strength and you're trying in your own strength, you get tired. We'll preach about it in the Sunday service. We get tired. When depending on God, you may be physically tired, but your heart is never tired. I think that's a very key indication that you are depending on God. Physically, you can be tired as you do the work, but in your heart, you're always joyful, you're always looking at the good things, you're always trusting God. Things may not turn out well, but your mind frame is always a spiritual mind frame. Okay? A Does that make sense? Does it help a little bit? The trying part comes is when a person doesn't even pray. I think that's a very key starting point. We don't even pray about it. And when you pray, it means, you say, Lord, I really don't know what to do. I need you to tell me. Rather than saying, you know, God, I don't know that, but you know, I just try, Lord. It's you talking to yourself, not you talking to God. Does it make sense? Any questions? The trying part, okay, let me clarify this. I think I understand what Sister Jamie is saying. I hope we all more or less understand. We all want to do what is right. Right? We all want to do what is right. We want to serve God. We cannot jump ahead of God by just doing something without asking Him first. Especially with small and big things. When you talk about this Christian life, for example, and some of you hate reading, for example, right? Some people just hate reading the Bible because I can't read, I don't like to read. But you know that this is God's will to read the Bible, yes? Yes, it's God's will to read the Bible, yes? Okay, if it's God's will to read the Bible, you need to ask God. You need to tell God, God, I know it's your will for me to read the Bible. I need your help. I'm going to read the Bible. And you do all you can because you're fulfilling God's will. You're doing what He tells you to do. And you know, God will help you. And so that's where the effort comes in. When it's within God's will, you pray about it, and you know that's what God wants you to do, you keep on in that direction and you don't give up. Because you're doing what's... For example, soul winning. Some people say, don't do soul winning in your own strength. You know, sometimes some people may feel, I just give up tracks on, yeah, and do the same thing again and again. After a while, and I believe after a while, we may be doing our own strength because we're just fulfilling a duty without actually putting God in it. Say, God, I'm going tracking today. I don't know what's going to happen, but Lord, give me wisdom, give me bonus as we go. As we put a track, I pray that you do something about it. Does that make sense? Does that help? Any other insights? Let's turn to Philippians. Philippians. I feel that the verse may help to crystallize the thought in the Lord's word. In Philippians chapter 2. Okay? In the background of the Philippian church, there are a church that loves God. Okay? Church who love the Apostle Paul. And this is what Paul told them. After teaching about being humble, just like Christ in verse 12, chapter 2, verse 12, there, let me read, and then you hear what God says. Therefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? The principle of the Philippian church was obedience to God's word. And Paul admonishes them, saying, much more in my absence, you are also obeying God. In verse 13 is the key. Because it is God which worketh in you both to make a decision, to will, and to do of His good pleasure. As a Christian, if you are daily walking with God and dedicating yourself to God in the decisions you make, in the spiritual mind frame, God works in you to make those decisions and go ahead. Because if you are in the will of God, for example, in the VBS, a free reign, because once I know it's God's will, you just go ahead and just do all the planning and just... But every step we need to pray and ask God, God, is this the way? Is that the way? Is that the person that needs to use and all that? Does that make sense? And so as we put effort, yeah, we can get tired. But as we do that, as we trust the Lord, God works in us to do His will. Like when we started this church, just believe it was God and you know. But God will tell you whether you're depending on your own strength, because the results actually show whether you're depending on God or not. Does that make sense? Does that help? Any questions? Does it help? Okay, let's just move on first, right? Thanks for the question. That was good. Okay, Jesus taught that the key to abiding in Him is obedience to His word. The key to abiding in Him is obedience to His word. In order to abide in His word, we need to know His word. We need to read His word. Let me just go back there. In verse 7, let's turn back to John chapter 15, in verse 7. John chapter 15. maybe for Sister Jamie's question, I'll just add this. As you pray and as you go out and do, it's all faith. It's all you're doing it in faith. Example, when I started preaching at the Heritage Link Center, I don't know whether it's, all I know is God wants them safe. All I know is there's 70 people I can reach. All I know is I'm called to preach. And when I line up to this thing, yeah, there's time and logistical. But say, Lord, by faith, I'm going to do your work. Because it's God's work. Preaching is God's work. Winning souls is God's work. And I'm just going there. Whether it happens or not, I'm there. I'm in that place. I ask myself, Lord, am I doing it in my own strength? I don't want to actually go ahead of you. But the door is open. So I ask a question, can I invite them to different things? I'm just looking forward to what God wants to do. But it's actually, sometimes we have to step up by faith, just do it, and say, Lord, I'm doing by faith. If it doesn't happen, close the door, we'll move to another thing. Just like Paul. Okay? But you know, as a Christian, you need to want to do more for God rather than doing less. I say this again. As a Christian, because you want to please God, to advance His kingdom, you'll be aiming to do more rather than less. Many Christians are aiming to cut ministries. God says you need to abound in ministries. And for those who are not married, I say this. If you choose and decide right now, I say, whatever happens, I'm going to remain faithful to God's work. When you get married, you need to find someone as well who have the same persuasion. Because I can tell you, marriage destroys ministry sometimes because the heart is not settled to serve God. The heart is not settled to serve God. And this thing about, oh, changing life. No, the ministries of God doesn't change. And when God, in fact, you need, there are many, many famous couples in the Bible, Aquila and Priscilla. They're not in full time, but they were the ones who strengthened Apollos, who became more a mighty preacher. Okay? So you know what? As you get married, to move forward, the ministry ought to get stronger. Okay? So there's something I want to add. Okay? Any questions? Oh, I finished that thought. Okay. In John 15, verse 7, the Bible says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. Obedience to God's word. Obedience to God's word. Obedience to God's word is a very important aspect of abiding in Christ. When we don't obey God's word, we don't abide in Christ. There is no negotiation about that. The Lord Jesus is very clear. When God tells us to do something and we don't do it, we're not abiding in Christ. And you know what happens? I'll give you an example. If you're firstly, as a new student going to a class, teacher gives you instruction. If I don't like it, you know, once you start there, you know what's going to happen? The teacher gives you the next assignment for a tutorial. I don't really like. And you keep giving excuses not to do it. You know what happens? After a while, you keep moving out. You know what I need to do with the Christian faith? Whatever I hear, I'm going to do straight away. And obedience is immediate. Can I say delayed obedience? If you say, although in the New Testament, God does teach something else, okay, in terms of there's these two children, it's two children. The dad asked him to work in the field. One of them said, yes, I'll go, but didn't go. But another one said, no, I don't feel like going, but he went. And Jesus said, which son did the will of the father? The first or the second? The second one, right? The one who said, I didn't want to go, but then later on he went to go. That's a good thing. But you know, in the Old Testament, there is a principle of delayed obedience, which is sin. When God asked the children of Israel to go into the promised land the first time, what did they do? Oh, the land is good, but we are like grasshoppers. The enemy is going to destroy us. Okay? So God says, go in. Israel says, no. And God said, okay. You don't want to go in? You're not going in. The next day, they realized they were wrong. God, we're going in. Moses says, don't go. God says, don't go. They went in anyway, and they were slaughtered. Obedience is such an important thing in the Christian life that Jesus himself says, one of the key evidences that you're abiding in me is you're obeying my word. Is you're obeying my word. Okay? Any questions? Now, let's do some practical before we finish in about 5 minutes. We probably won't finish, but next week I'll continue a bit more. What are some things that we need? What are some things that we know that we need to obey God in? as a Christian? Can I try of you reading the Bible? It's a commandment of God? It's something you need to obey? Did the Bible say that? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Okay, that's an example of principle there. Okay, but in the New Testament, Acts chapter 17, and these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, the people of Berea, and they searched the word of God daily whether these things were so. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It sounds to me like God wants us to be more in depth in the word. We need to be. Reading the Bible is not an option. You know why we have many weak Christians? Because we don't know the Bible. And I say this, and I hope that that you don't take it, I feel so bad. I hope you take it as a challenge. Say, God, from now on, I'm going to be in the Word. I'm going to set time in the Word. I'm going to study the Word. Don't just read the Word, study the Word. The Bible talks about reading, studying, memorizing, meditating, and obeying. We cannot obey without knowing. Knowing an ambassador, we're going to, by God's grace, create a culture of Bible study, knowing God's Word and obeying. Because that's the only way to be strong. Because when I know the entire church is abiding in Christ in obedience, if you read God's Word, can I say, your life will be strong, your family will be strong, the church will be strong, and those people who come to Ambassador will have a chance to really hear the Word of God and get saved, and their lives change. You need to be in the Word. Don't let your friends, don't let the things of this world, don't let our own prejudices or convenience or comfort distract us from studying the Word, okay? So Jesus says, you need to be in the Word. In verse 10, John 15, 10, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my commandments and abide in his love. Whatever God the Father told Jesus to do, did Jesus do it? Yes, he did. You know who were the benefactors of that? Or rather, who was the beneficiary? Sorry, who were the people who received the blessing of Jesus' obedience? You and me. Jesus could have said, sorry, God, it's getting too tough, man. I'm not gonna go to the cross for these people who betray me and walk the world with me. I mean, these disciples said they're going to stay with me, but Lord, where are they? Why should I die for them? We can think like that. No, Jesus didn't. Because you know what? Obedience to God is not determined by who stands with you. Obedience to God is determined by what God says to you. All the disciples left. That didn't stop Jesus from following the Father. That's what we need. We need a loyal, determined, resolute heart that says, God, even if I have to die, I'll obey you. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? It says, be known unto thee, O King, that even if our God don't deliver us from the furnace, we are not going to bow down. Why? Because your loyalty is to God first. We need to ask God to revive us to old-fashioned obedience to God's word, because that is the essence of victory. Okay? Any questions? Let me just try to finish this one. Okay, what abiding in Christ is not? I've heard this before. People believe worship is connecting with God. That is Christian mysticism, okay? Whereby I say, oh, God spoke to me. Well, yeah, I know. Show me in the Bible. Ladies, if a man comes to you and says, I believe God wants you to marry me, you know what you say, ladies? Oh, no. God just told me that someone's going to come to you and say, marry me. Just say no to that guy. Okay? All right? It's not mystical in the sense of a popular philosophy today. It is just, it's simply walking fellowship by honoring or obeying God. Just like Jesus did. If you don't read the Bible, your life will go downhill. And that's why sometimes Christian attitudes are not right and all that kind of thing. Okay, Okay, how do we abide in Christ? Ensure that I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. It's not question mark, it's a full stop, okay? Ensure that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. You cannot grow without a relationship, sorry? just simply walking in fellowship. Okay? Can? Can I? Yeah, I think forward to you. Okay, yeah. Just watching the time as well. Ensure they have a relationship with Lord Jesus. Sorry, it's not a question mark, it is a full stop. Okay? Because you can't abide in Christ if you're not in Him. Okay? Jesus says, abide in me. There is regular prayer. And my words abide in you through reading, through study, through meditation, memorization, obedience in your thoughts, your heart, and in active service. Some of you students who study, when you first try to learn a concept, what do you do? Anna, what do you do? When you try to understand the concept, what do you do? Textbook, okay, yeah, you study. And you study, you try to get study help, you try to get notes from people, you try to ask questions until you understand the whole thing, right? And once you understand the whole thing, it becomes part and parcel of you. Exams come, you can just answer the question because it's part and parcel of you. You walk around, the concept is stuck there, stuck here. And then you can even help your friends if they don't understand, yes? That's what God wants us to be. Okay? Okay, any questions? Next week we'll look at putting off. Any questions? Any questions? I think it's so important, this part. I believe in all my heart, many of us don't have victory in our Christian lives. Oh, we can have victory in our Christian life. We need to obey in Christ. Just follow what Jesus said. You know, it just makes logical sense. If Christ created life and He tells us how to have abundant life, it makes sense for us to just listen to Him. And He says we need to abide in Him. Abiding in Him and letting His words abide in you. Okay? Can I just have an encouragement for those Christians who are truly wanting victory in their lives? No matter how young you are, okay? I believe as young as Asher, you understand this, right? Okay? Abiding in Christ means you read your Bible daily and pray daily. It's very serious. In fact, the more you grow as a Christian, the more of the Bible you need to know. The key is knowing the Bible and obeying it. I know of Christians who like to, maybe they like prophecy a lot, and they study a lot about prophecy, but their lives doesn't change. The Bible is not a book of suggestions. It's a book for obedience. When we read the Bible, God should convict our hearts, and then we change. If we don't change, we'll remain stagnant. Those who are studying in public schools, you need more of the Bible. Why do I say that? Because from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you reach home, sometimes after 9, 10 o'clock, you're still doing your homework. The entire day is caught up with worldly things, worldly friends. And you have no Bible intake. Sometimes maybe 5-10 minutes. It's not going to help. You need to ask God to help you. I just shared a testimony. Last time when I was when I was in university last time, I would spend, I wake up at 5 to 7, I just study the Bible. Until I wanted to do an honors degree. So I cut down my Bible study in order to study more. And I really felt my Christian life going down. Then my pastor identified for me, or rather I shared with him and said, no, because of this, wanting to do this, I'm not doing this more. And then pastor said, you just identify your own problem. You're not spending time in the Word. We need to spend time in God's Word. Okay? Any questions? We'll just stop here. We want to encourage you. For some of you, Brother Johnny, I'm very busy. Some of you are in the army and all that kind of thing. We need to be disciplined enough to just snatch. Whenever you got free time, okay, 10 minutes, Lord, one verse or two verse, and then you try to memorize that. One thing, just try to memorize that. Just memorize that, okay? It's very hard to meditate a lot. Just memorize. I thought, oh, okay, I need to go. But later on, as you keep memorizing, you keep reading, when you memorize, you're actually hiding in your heart. Okay? And for those who are studying and all that, I want to encourage you, make time for the Word. All right? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you teach us all to abide in you. Father, it's not about following and doing without understanding who Jesus is, without understanding what thy word says. I pray that your word will be so rich in our lives. Father, you teach us in Colossians 3:16 to let the word of God dwell richly in us, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Father, I pray that everyone from Asher all the way to the oldest person here, that we will not give an excuse, Lord, not to read the Bible. Father, I pray that we will grow in Christ. Father, I pray that as we hear your word, we will not get tired of it. Help us to abide in you. Lord, if there's one who have never known Christ as your personal Savior, I pray, Father, open their hearts to your word and then allow your Holy Spirit to convict them that through repentance and faith in Christ, they might have eternal life. Bless the service to follow, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.